And store clerks, you should not be on the phone when you're waiting on me. I'm going to repeat that. You should not be on the phone when you're waiting on me. When I, the customer, walk up to the counter, the phone should be put down. And if it rings while you're waiting on me, let it ring. After 10 rings, pick it up, and without even saying hello, say, I'm currently waiting on an actual paying customer who has money and has had the courtesy to come into the store to transact business. I will get to you when the store is empty. Stay on the line if you wish, but I may not get to you till sundown. Then smile at me and say, where were we? The in-store customer should always come first. And where did this new rule come from that says the second person standing on line in a store has to hang back and leave about 6 feet of space between himself and the customer being waited on? You know, one person is already up at the counter, and the next person is standing back 5 or 6 feet, leaving all this unused space. When did this shit start? And I'm not talking about stores where there's an obvious central feeder line, one line that feeds a number of counter positions. I'm talking about an individual line that feeds a single counter. And these dopey people hang back like they're afraid of offending someone. This has obviously grown out of some perverted, politically correct impulse. Move up, motherfucker. Take up the slack. You know what I do when I'm behind one of these timid jack-offs? I step right in front of him and take his place in line. If he doesn't like it, I say, you should have moved up, twat-face. Don't you know space is at a premium? I gave you a full minute and you didn't move. Now I'm next. I also get very unhappy with people in supermarkets who stop their carts in the middle of the aisle and just stand there looking at the soup. They don't know what they want, so they're looking. Parked! In the middle of the aisle, they're trying to decide. Why would you go to a supermarket if you didn't know what you wanted? You know how I shop? I enter the store with a list in my hand, and I move quickly through the aisles from item to item, and I'm in the parking lot before Hamlet has figured out if the cream of mushroom is a better bargain than the chicken with stars. I say, know what you want, get what you need, and get the fuck out of there. That's how you shop.
Hello there. I'm a cockroach. Listen, I'm going to keep this to a minimum because I got to get back to the kitchen and eat a bunch of crumbs that I spotted on the table. Plus, there's a little puddle of gravy on the left side of the sink near the drain that nobody noticed. Okay, here's my deal. Bug sprays. We don't like them, we don't need them, we don't want them. We say get rid of them, okay? That's it. Otherwise, if you don't do what we want, we're going to crawl all over your face while you're asleep. We'll even go up your nose. We don't care. Thanks. I'll see you later. And for Christ's sakes, turn out the lights, will you please?
When I'm on a commercial flight and I see a fly flying down the center of the airplane from back to front, I like to take him off to one side and ask him if he understands how fast he's moving. They never really know. So the first thing I do is briefly explain Newton's laws of motion, complete with a small diagram to make it a bit easier. But the only thing the little fly egos are interested in is how fast they're moving. So I tell them that in order to calculate their velocity relative to the ground, all they have to do is add their own flying speed to the speed of the airplane. I show them how it works, and they can't believe it when they discover that they're actually traveling over 500 miles an hour. The first thing most of them mention is that a frog's tongue wouldn't stand a chance against that kind of speed. Here's a small sampling of embarrassing societal clichés that I find tiresome and in some cases just plain ignorant. If it saves just one life. You often hear a new policy or procedure justified by the specious idea that if it saves the life of just one, and in there you insert child or American soldier, it'll be worth it. Well, maybe not. Maybe a closer look would show that the cost in time, money, or inconvenience would be much too high to justify merely saving one life. What's wrong with looking at it like that? Governments and corporations make those calculations all the time. Every child is special. An empty and meaningless statement. What about every adult? Isn't every adult special? And if not, then at what age does a person go from being special to being not so special? And if every adult is also special, then that means all people are special, and the idea has no meaning. This embarrassing sentiment is usually advanced to further some position that is either political or fundraising in nature. It's similar to, children are our future. It's completely meaningless and is probably being used in some self-serving way.